Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 16 tonight. Acts chapter number 16. We'll be looking at verses 6 through 10. If you'll join me on the odd-numbered verses, I'll read the even-numbered verses. Acts chapter number 16 tonight. Let's all stand. I'll begin there at verse number 6, if you'll join me. Verse number 7, and we'll read responsively down through verse number 10. Verse number 6 says, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Heavenly Father, we come again tonight, Lord, and Lord, we just pray, Lord, that you'd please be with the preaching of your word. Father, we need to hear from you tonight. Lord, we ask that you please bless in the special music, but Lord, we need to hear from you in the preaching of your word. Father, I pray, Lord, that you please break our hearts, that you'd mold us, that you'd make us what you want us to be. And Lord, that you'd please just speak to us tonight. Father, thank you for all that we've received so far from you throughout the day. And Lord, just ask that you'd please be with our preacher. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
this evening. I want to preach the theme of our conference tonight is found here in this text. And we're taking it from verse number 9, where the Bible says, "A vision appeared to Paul in the night, and there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.'" Nighttime need. Paul had the vision at night, and the night the vision was about the need man has for the gospel. Let's pray together, and we'll jump into this tonight. Father, thank you again for the privilege to be in this service. Help us, I pray. Lord, we come to another missions conference every year. They just, every 12 months, it rolls by. But I pray that we will wait before you and prepare our hearts and minds and attitudes, Lord, as we come to this important time of the year. So help me tonight in this text. Bless your word as it goes forth. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. We meet for services today without fear of our local or state or federal government sending authorities in to shut down our service and haul people off to jail. We have persons in place who are in places in the auditorium in case some crazy person would try to do something stupid. But we aren't looking over our shoulders expecting that our services are going to be interrupted like Brother Oswardes was a few weeks ago over in Russia. We still have a country that has a biblical influence. It may not be as powerful as it once was, but folks, there were many places today where the Word of God was preached in our country. And there are internet radio stations, there are printing companies, there are publishing houses that still turn out Christian literature by the millions of pieces right here in the United States of America. We still have schools. We have elementary schools, we have high schools, we have colleges that are ministry-based where young people are trained in the faith of the Bible. And those young people go to school without fear of imprisonment or some other intervention by government. Our country is struggling. There's no doubt about that. Our country is struggling. But what country isn't? You start looking around the globe, they're all struggling. And that's right in line with Bible prophecy, isn't it? So they're all struggling, but we still, in America, we still have a standard of living that is higher than the average country in the world by far, and you know that. Now, all of what I have just described to you is true partially because one man had a vision. One man had a vision. I believe Acts 16:9 is a watershed moment when you look back over at the influence of the gospel. There it is. There stood a man of Macedonia in Paul's vision in the night and prayed him, saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." This was a vision that impacted Paul, but ultimately millions of others after him. And I personally believe that we sit here even tonight, how many years after this vision, and we sit here tonight as a result of that vision that Paul had in the night. Because the gospel continued in a westward direction. It covered the continent of Europe, finally crossed the Atlantic Ocean with the pilgrims on the Mayflower, and landed here on the shores of America. And this book has influenced this nation from its beginning, and you know that's true. So we sit here tonight as a result of the impact of vision, a vision of nighttime need. Nighttime need. And I still think vision of nighttime need can impact people today. I want to talk about this vision that the Apostle Paul had and give you these thoughts tonight. First of all, I want you to notice that the vision altered his purpose and his plan. The vision altered his purpose and his plan. Look with me at the end of chapter 15, beginning at verse 36, okay? The end of chapter 15, beginning at verse 36. "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, 'Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do.'" Now, it's easy to see the purpose and the plan Paul had in mind for this journey. He said, "Let's go visit the churches that had been started and see how they are doing." You see, folks, they had already been on a missionary journey. It was a significant journey. They traveled about 1,400 miles on that first journey. It began in Antioch of Syria. And it basically took them from Syria to an island, the island of Crete there in the northeast Mediterranean Sea, and then to southwest Turkey. Turkey is an interesting place. A lot of your New Testament centers around the land known today as Turkey, over there in Turkey. And so that's where it was, southwest Turkey, and then back. That took them, they stayed east of the Aegean Sea. They did not, you can find these places in the map, in the back of your Bible. But that missionary journey took them about 1,400 miles. It took 2 years to accomplish the journey. And they, yes, it covered a lot of distance, but they stayed in a relatively compact, if you will, geographical area east of the Aegean Sea. Now, they did go by boat through the Mediterranean, but that was about as far as they went when it came to boat travel on that first, or ship, Brother Griffin, I should say, on that first missionary. That's a little inside men soul-winning joke, amen, okay? But on that first missionary journey. Now, his purpose for this second missionary journey was to revisit that trip. That's what his purpose was, and he did. And can you imagine the enjoyment and the fellowship of going to see these churches and seeing again people who they met, people who were led to Christ, people who were taught the Scriptures, and now they're going to go back some years later and they're going to revisit the churches and meet with those people. You can imagine the joy that was in Paul's heart. Now, this is not apples to apples, but I don't have converts on the island of Madagascar. I don't remember anybody getting saved when I preached there, but you know, the slide that Brother Gillis threw up on the screen last Sunday night of those people standing there that were part of the Bible Institute, and I recognized some of those faces, and my heart just was leaping out of my chest to see Dolph, and to see Doné, and to see Mr. Addy, and to see Zoo, men that I met, men that I talked to, men that I preached to, men that seemed to be helped and built up and edified by the preaching of the Word of God, and to anticipate going back to Madagascar now in the near future sometime, not near future, but down the road a little bit, and seeing those people again, just the thought of it brings excitement to my heart. So I know how Paul, a little bit, again, it's not apples to apples. I mean, I didn't start a church. Paul started churches. Paul had converts. He had people that he said, Barnabas, let's go revisit all of those churches and see how they were doing. And so that was their plan. And that was their purpose. And you can see in the verses 6 and 7 that the Spirit of God was carefully guiding them. I won't take time to read those verses. The Spirit of God was closing doors that Paul was trying to open. He's trying to go here, and the Spirit of God closes the door. He's trying to go here, and the Spirit of God closes the door. Then as they came to Troas, and see, when he was there in verse number 7, he essayed to go into Bithynia. And that, my friend, when you couple verse 7 and verse 9, this is where I believe this is a watershed moment when it comes to the influence of the gospel, because Paul wanted to go northeast. You can look on your map. He wanted to go north. He wanted to stay on the east side of the Aegean Sea. That was his purpose. That was what he wanted to do. Visit the churches and then go a little further into where we had been before. But he had this vision. In verse number 8, when they came down to Troas, this vision appeared to Paul in the night. And in this vision, he sensed the Lord's leading to cross the Aegean Sea. Now we're going westward. And this crossing of the Aegean Sea was venturing into territory he had never been in before. I don't think he was afraid of that. I don't think Paul was afraid of going to the new territory. I think Paul liked to go to the new territory with the gospel. But this was definitely, now listen, this was not according to his plan. This was not his purpose. When it was all said and done, he went double the miles. He went 2,800 miles instead of 1,400, and they took 3 years instead of two to not only revisit those churches, but the vision that God gave him altered his plan, altered his purpose, and he carried the gospel further westward into Macedonia. A vision that altered his purpose and his plan. And you know what? I'm convinced that a vision of nighttime need can still change our purposes and our plans as well. The truth of the matter is, I believe down through the years, a vision of nighttime need has already changed some people's purpose and some people's plan. I think about Don Oswardy. I doubt Don Oswardy, as a boy this age, as a young man this age, figured he would be in Russia. Now, he might have thought he'd have been involved in some missionary service, although really, when Don went to Bible college, he went to serve in the States. And you know what he really wants to do? He wants to end up somewhere here in America, if he's coming home, where he can just teach. He can teach science and math in a Christian school because that's his heart. He loves Christian education. So by his own testimony, I don't think Don ever saw, I don't think his plan or his purpose was ever to go to Russia until he had a nighttime need vision. And it altered his plan and his purpose. I think about the Montgomerys going to Puerto Rico. I don't think Jared, I could see Jared sitting over here in this pew of Montgomerys that used to sit over here that's now empty except for Kyla. And I could see all five of them and their mom and dad sitting there. And Jared as a little guy. And how Jared was growing up in the church and just a normal kid around here. And I don't think Jared had any premonition when he was an elementary school boy or a junior high boy that he would be raising support to go to Puerto Rico. But he had a nighttime vision that altered his purpose and altered his plan. And God moved on his heart. And now they're on their way to own deputation raising the money to go to Puerto Rico. I know in my own son's case, when I think about Ben, I never heard of any talk of Madagascar. The first time I heard anything about Madagascar was on a phone call where I knew he was surrendered to be a missionary and he was struggling with whether to go immediately or stay here in the States and get some ministry experience. And I think at that time, Brother Harrison was leaving. And I said, Ben, why don't you just come back here and work here for me for a couple of years and get some experience. And he said, Dad, I'll pray about it. And I never will forget, it was at a Revival Fires conference sitting in the office on Monday night before the opening service on Monday night when the phone rang and he was weeping on the other end of the line. And he said, Dad, he said, I don't know how to tell you this, but I can't come work for you. I got to go to Madagascar. God has called me to go to that place. And I don't know all that God did in his heart, but I'm going to tell you what, friend. I know that wasn't going on in his heart at age 15. I know that wasn't going on in his heart at age 12 and age 6. He had a vision. He had a nighttime need vision that altered his plan and altered his purposes. I think about Jason Lowe, who came out of Bible college and ended up down at the Mountain View Park home down here in Missouri, helping troubled girls, was it, there at the house, Heather, and they worked for Bob Wall, and how Jason was kind of fretted about his ministry and then surrendering. He had a nighttime need vision, and God altered his purpose, and God altered his plan, and now he's got just a good ministry going down in the Bahamas. And then Amanda being there. You know, and I can see Amanda sitting with Dave and the family, and just a little girl here growing up, and probably no premonition as an elementary school girl that she would be down in Bahamas, and there she is now, already started in the work down there helping Heather and helping. I'm just simply saying, folks, that you know, people still have nighttime need visions, and those visions alter people's purposes, and those visions alter people's plans. And as we come to a missions conference, I hope that all of us, now, you know, it would be wonderful if everybody would stay in Bourbonnais, but that's not God's purpose, and that's not God's plan. And it very well could be through the preaching and the testimonies that God gives some young person in this church or some young adult person in this church a vision that would alter your purpose and your plan, if He can. If He can. He can't to some people. Just can't do it. It's a closed thing. There's no open. We got our plans and we've got our purposes. You know what? You need a nighttime need vision. When you have a nighttime need vision, it alters your purposes and your plans. That was not Paul's purpose. That was not Paul's plan to go to Macedonia until he had that nighttime need vision. And the truth of the matter is, folks, the people I just talked about, a vision of nighttime need changed their living purposes and their living plans, and it's changed many of our giving purposes and giving plans. And I will tell you something. I can't come to you and fuss tonight about the last 12 months of Faith Promise Missions giving. It has far exceeded my expectations. Now, I don't know all the reasons why, and I'm not trying to figure it out. It's interesting to me that we are down in the general fund the exact same amount that we are ahead in the missions fund. You say that's a coincidence. Maybe it is. Amen. But I'm not. I've said that to you. I've been there long enough. I'm just happy that God's people are giving to missions. It blesses my heart. And the truth of the matter is, I have no fuss with you tonight. None at all. But I believe having a Faith Promise missions program has helped many people in this church to decide to give over and beyond the tithe to missions. And I believe many of you would find a way to give, even if we didn't have a Faith Promise missions program, because somehow, some way, at some point, you caught a glimpse of the need the world has for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you'd give to it if we didn't have an organized plan. And that vision that God spoke to your heart, that way God spoke to you, has impacted you to the degree that now you give money that you might have had plans and purposes for other things, but now you give it to missions. And I just think, folks, you know, I'm glad that God still works on the hearts of people to alter their plans and their purposes. And you know, all I'm asking you to do, and look, you didn't have the vision the same way the Apostle Paul did. In that day, the Bible was still being given from God to mankind, so there was open visions, and he actually saw a vision of a man. You and I don't have visions like that. We've got a completed Bible. Those days are over. But it is the preaching and teaching of this vision that stirs our hearts to give. It's the preaching and teaching of this vision that works on us, and God uses His Word to burden us, to alter our plans and purposes for somebody. Come on, folks. For some of you who have been giving and giving and giving to Faith Promise missions over the years, don't tell me that you didn't have alternative purposes and plans for that money. You know you did. And it was supposed to go for this or go for that, and you heard the call, you saw the vision, you saw the need, and you said, you know what, I'm going to put it this way and put it to missions. And get that vision, the need of the gospel, altered your purposes and your plans. And as we approach this missions conference, I'm not here to fuss at you, I have nothing to fuss about, but all I ask is that each of us seek the Lord's leading for what He would have us do. Keep the vision for missions sharp. Keep it clear. And if God alters your purpose and your plan, follow His leading. Follow His leading. You know, I remember, you know, listen, you know, as you approach missions conference, maybe you've not given to missions consistently. Maybe a missionary comes through and you throw a few dollars in to help him. But we're talking about a program of giving here where you give on a consistent basis an amount of money per week that you want to be a blessing to send to missionaries. $12.50 a week supports a missionary $50 a month. And many give that, many give beyond that. And all I ask is, maybe as this missions conference comes in just a couple of weeks, that you let God alter your plans and purposes. Maybe He wants you to start giving. Maybe you need to start giving and test the waters and prove God. God is a God that nobody will be indebted to, folks. That's the honest truth. Maybe God wants you to increase. I don't know. I don't know the mind of God for you. I'm going to pray about the mind of God for me. I do every year. Maybe God wants you to increase. I think there's a man sitting in this room tonight, several years ago. He called me after a missions conference and he said, Pastor, he said, I just want you to know that I came into this missions conference praying and seeking the Lord's will. And in my mind, I was not going to increase my missions giving. It was pretty substantial as it was. But the conference, the Lord spoke to my heart. And on the last night, Wednesday night, I decided I'm going to increase this much. And he said, this was Wednesday night, late when he called me. He said, I got home. And he said, there was a light flashing on the voicemail box, on the machine, the phone. He said, I pushed it. He said, it was my boss telling me that there was a raise that was supposed to have been coming my way, and it got delayed, and I was going to get the raise. It was going to be retroactive, and the raise was more than enough to meet the price of the amount that he had increased. That's called a nighttime vision, where God alters your plans and your purposes. Maybe God's vision for you is to stay the same. I don't know. As your pastor, transparent, there have been years when I have not increased. I came into it willing. I came into it, Lord, speak to me. But it didn't increase. There was no burden to increase, and so I didn't. I'm not gonna put myself under a cloud. I'm not gonna put myself under pressure. I'm just gonna make myself available. God, speak to me. Make myself available. And Lord, You lead. And should I increase? Should I start? Should I stay the same? And you know, when God gives you a vision, sometimes it alters your purposes and alters your plan. All I can say is, if you're following the leadership of the Lord, you're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. This vision altered His purpose and His plan. Number two, I want to show you something else tonight. The vision affirmed His program. The vision affirmed His program. Look at verses 9 and 10 with me. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. I want you to notice that the man from Macedonia asked for help. And that cry for help was a plea for the gospel. The help that Paul was dedicated to give to people was this. He wanted them to have a good opportunity to hear the gospel message. His program was not planting crops. His program was not building houses. His program was not teaching a language. His program was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, it worked. Now, I won't take the time to go through all of it. If you've been here over the years, you've heard the message. But he went to Philippi, and the preaching of the gospel worked there. He went to Thessalonica, and the preaching of the gospel worked there. He went to Berea, and the preaching of the gospel worked there. And then Paul went to Athens. And there, in the center of intellectualism and scholarship. Check it out. There, certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered Paul and engaged him in debate. And there, where the Athenians and strangers, and I'm quoting to you from the Word of God, spent their time in nothing else but either to hear or to tell or to hear some new thing. In the center of intellectualism and the center of scholarship and the center of idolatry, there Paul got away from the gospel message. And there were very few converts. He got away from the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And there was a very meager harvest of souls. And you can read about it at the end of chapter 17. God moves him out of Athens, and there were only a few who believed. Then he went to Corinth. And when he got to Corinth, I believe on the way to Corinth, something happened in Paul's heart on the way to Corinth, because he would later write to the Corinthian church about his coming there. And to summarize it without turning there and taking time tonight, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul told the Corinthian people, he said, when I came to you, I did not come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom. Can somebody say what happened in Athens? I did not come to you with philosophy. I didn't come to you with intellectualism. I didn't come to you with scholarship. I determined to know nothing more than Jesus Christ and Him crucified. What he was saying was, when I came to Corinth, I junked all that debate. I junked all that scholarship. I junked all that intellectualism. And I went back to the old cross where Jesus died and the empty tomb. And I preached the gospel message. And brother, you know what happened in Corinth. People were saved. People were baptized. And a church was started. Because the gospel message always works. It still works. That was his program. That was his program. There is no message on earth to compete with the supremacy of the gospel. It is the supreme message. And folks, we need to catch a vision of that truth. We need to understand that the world still needs the gospel message. And you need to catch a vision of the fact that there are many who would love to hear it plainly. Love to hear it. See, we've grown up with it. We've heard it over and over, unfortunately, for some American people, ad nauseum. But the rest of the world hasn't. I was reading some unbelievable, interesting material about missionary David Edens and his wife Donna, who have been in Niger in the Sahara Desert. I was talking to Brent, and when you fly to Madagascar from Paris to Antananarivo, you fly over the continent of Africa, and sometimes you go at night, you can't see much. But the last time we did it, going to Antananarivo, we flew in the daytime and we could see the continent of Africa. And when you look down from that airplane, you see nothing for the first part. You see nothing but brown. The Sahara Desert is huge. You understand that geographically, the Sahara Desert is larger than the continental United States. It's immense. And they've been in the country of Niger. And they've been working with these nomadic Bedouin, Arabic, Muslim, they're nomadic. You ought to see their tents. They have poles, bamboo poles, and they throw their tents up and they stay for a few days and they load their camels and they go again and they make their livelihood in the desert. And their clothing covers all their bodies. It's not from religious worship. It's so they won't burn up. They got a little thing in their face to see through. And it was, now David Edens, the last time I heard him preach at Windsor Hills, he had been in Niger for 30 years and they had had 5 converts. Think about it. Nomadic people. Here one day, gone the next. Always on the move. Sandy, old, camels. And yet, some of them, because of the actions of ISIS and other extremist Muslims, some of these simple people have started re-examining the teachings of the Quran and are now open to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they are getting the gospel, being the gospel, the Word of God, they're getting that on MP3 players and other little devices that the missionaries, that David Edens, can give to these nomadic tribes people, and they can listen to it being read in their own language. And it showed pictures of them with their little devices, in their garb, with their camels, and in their tents, sitting around and listening to the Word of God being read. Because there is no message more supreme than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, that thrills me. That just excites my heart. And to think about that, to think, folks, around the world. You know, it may not be as readily received in our country. And I think Brother Hiltabiddle was right on target. I don't think he was being a doomsayer. I don't think he was being pessimistic. The gospel is not as readily received as it used to be. You, if you visit, you know that. And it may not be in Europe. It definitely is not in Europe. And it definitely is not in Russia. But I want to tell you something, folks. Among the brown-skinned peoples of this world, the message is very readily heard, and many times it is received. I'm telling you, the vision affirmed his program. His program had always been the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. And when this man cried for help, it was in the area of hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what, by the way, missionaries are not a burden to us. They are a blessing to us to help us get the gospel to the world. So the vision altered his plans and his purpose and his plan. The vision affirmed his program. And let me say number 3 tonight. Lastly, the vision affected his priority. It affected his priority. Look at verse number 10 with me in your Bible there. He said, after we had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go. Immediately. The need was urgent, and so the response was immediate. Preparation for the journey began immediately. How do we get to Macedonia? And so the course was plotted, and the Bible says in verse number 11, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So the response was immediate. It affected their priority. We've got to get there, and we've got to get there now. Question. Is it an indictment against the churches in America that it is taking the average missionary almost 3 years to raise support? Imagine that. You know, my job is not to discourage young men. My job is to encourage young men. But I like to be realistic with them. When Jared started out for Puerto Rico, I sat him down and said, now listen, I'm not trying to discourage you. But if you think you're just going to bop out of there and raise support for Puerto Rico. There's nothing romantic about Puerto Rico. Madagascar? Oh. 1040 window? Ah. Oh. That's the big thing right now. Puerto Rico? Been there, done that. It's taken the average missionary 3 years to raise support. Some raise it quicker, some raise it longer. Some would claim that they are raising too much support. But they don't need that much support. You know, I guess they just don't understand that they are raising money not only for their own personal expenses, but for the expenses of the ministry as well. Folks, they got to have a building. And there's no people to get the money from there. At least at the beginning. So they're raising money for themselves. They're raising money for the ministry. I guess they don't understand that the cost of most items here in America is cheaper than the cost of items elsewhere. By and large. Now, you can go to places and you can find things that are indigenous to places. Mexico is a great place to buy vanilla. Cheap. When I go, I bring bottles of it back. I know what it must look like when they take it through the X-ray. There's all these shaped, they're all shaped. They look like booze bottles. What they look like. And Madagascar vanilla. The real beans. And you can get some of that stuff cheaper. The local stuff that's indigenous to places is cheaper than the USA. But by and large, almost all things are cheaper here. Even Bob Mace, when he was in Kotzebue, Alaska, Kim paid $8 for a cantaloupe. $8. They don't make a cantaloupe worth $8 to me. A hamburger maybe, but not a cantaloupe. Piece of pizza, but heaven help us, a cantaloupe for $8? Lord. A milkshake? Yeah. Especially if it's Oberweiss, amen. You buy, that's about what you pay over there. Isn't it? Look, there is an urgency the missionary feels to get to the field. You know what propels that urgency? The vision that God put on his heart. The vision that God gave that missionary propels him with a sense of urgency. I've got to get... You know what the thing you have to do? You have to say to the missionary, no, you're not going on 70%. No, you're not going on 75%. You're going to stay here until you get... What propels them to want to go under-supported? The vision. The urgency of the vision. And folks, the truth of the matter is, if we catch a glimpse of nighttime need, a vision of nighttime need, we may not go with urgency, but we will give with urgency. Here's what Jesus said in John 9:4, the night cometh when no man can work. Are we seeing that happen? Is that what's happening? Is that what's happening in Russia? The night cometh when no man can work? How much time is left? I don't know. I know this much. We got another missions conference. We got another keynote speaker. We got another four families coming. So what are we going to do, Pastor? The same thing we've done before. We're going to have a presentation, have some preaching, and that's it. We're going to eat together. We're going to have the displays. What else is there to do, folks? Have the conference. What we need, what makes a mission, what makes missions exciting and what keeps it important is a fresh vision, a renewed vision for the need, this nighttime need. Hey, I am convinced that we sit here tonight pretty much in full freedom as a result of the vision Paul had in Acts 16:9. I guess my question is, who will sit somewhere else in a church because of a vision that somebody here catches? This conference. To go or to give? I'm not fussing at you. I can't. Had the greatest year of missions giving we've ever had. But you know, God's still giving visions in the night. And we'll forget when I first came here, a man who's moved away from here now, he took me in the old auditorium and he said, Pastor, he said, right here. And we were standing on the east side of the wall of the old auditorium. Those of you folks that remember the old auditorium, we were standing at the front on the east side, on the east wall. And he said, right here is where I stood during the invitation for a missions conference. And I put my arm on the wall and my forehead on my arm. And I prayed, God, make me a conduit. Make me a conduit for missions. Make me a conduit for missions. And he was a very, very healthy giver to missions after that. It's a nighttime need vision. A vision that affects us. A vision that alters us. A vision that affirms the priority of the message of the gospel. You call that simplistic. You call it archaic. You can call it elementary and shallow. But there is no message more supreme than Christ died, was buried, and rose again? That's it. So as we come to Missions Conference, let's just ask God to give us a vision. A fresh, new vision. Nighttime need. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for your attention tonight. Father in heaven, I preach hopefully for the purpose of our Missions Conference that God, you would please have your way in our midst. I'm not fussing tonight. I'm not angry. I'm not upset, Lord. I'm not disappointed at all. But what do you want for this year is my prayer. What do you want with me? What do you want with the people of Faith Baptist Church? What do you want with these young people, Lord? What do you want with us? Would you give us a vision, Lord? Would you give us a vision fresh and new? Would you set our souls afire? Would you help us to see by faith the multitudes and places, Lord, that don't have the gospel? Would you help us? Lord, if need be, would you alter our plans and purposes? Would you please affirm our program? Would you please affect our priority? Maybe we'd cancel something that's siphoning money and give it to missions. I don't know. But give us an urgency about this and help us to obey you so that the gospel message can continue to go to those who need to hear it, I pray. In Christ's name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you're here tonight, you don't know that you're saved. That's the premier message. The supreme message is that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. It'll save your soul if you'll trust it and trust the one who did it. So you come tonight with your head, as our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you need to be saved, you come. If you came to be baptized tonight, now's the time for you to step out and come while we wait. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one's looking. We'll have you ready to go in just a moment. And then if you're here tonight, you approach Missions Conference and you're willing to say in your seat where you are, kneel or come to the altar and just say, God, I give myself to you again, afresh and anew for a vision of nighttime need. The world needs the gospel. Help me to be a part of it. Make yourself available to Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, bless in Christ's name. As the ladies are playing a song of invitation, you obey the Lord tonight. You do as the Lord leads you while we wait.